It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
How's this audio? I just realized I put my AirPods in and they are completely dead.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Jorge Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here, checking out the series. Please do hit that subscribe button. You know the drill. Like what you see, what you hear. I put out 3 new interviews every single week, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists. A new episode every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at iTunes, Apple Podcast, at Spotify and Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcast from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. That's me, Kyle Meredith, today catching up once again with Alex Gaskarth to talk All Time Low and their brand new record called Tell Me I'm Alive. This is, as he'll tell us, sort of works as a continuation of Wake Up Sunshine that just came out a couple years ago. We'll hear how Sgt. Pepper's, the Beatles album, Elton John and Queen all serve as influences. Why he came to write about addiction, substance abuse, and coping as a lyrical thread, and try not to overthink the overall process. Alex is also going to reveal which track has a nod to a Morrissey song, having Teddy Swims as a guest on one of the tracks as well, and preparing for their upcoming Unplugged sets at the Ryman in Nashville. All that and more, we're talking Tell Me I'm Alive. It's Kyle Meredith with Alex Gaskarth of All Time Low.
Hi, how's it going?
Good to see you again. New album,
yeah.
Tell Me I'm Alive. This feels like a little bit something different. I mean, it sounds like you all, but there's something a little bit heightened going on here and coming after the success. I hope you don't mind just starting out a little broad. What's the story of, what's the entry point to this album?
First of all, thank you for saying. I mean, really, it's a continuation from, I think, where the last record left off with some interesting and different little nuances thrown into the mix. You know, I feel like we really didn't get to tour a lot on the last album. You know, it came out really at the height of lockdown and the height of the pandemic. And so that record for us felt like sort of a weird asterisk version of an album, in the sense that we just, you know, we're such a touring centric band and we didn't get to go out and do that as much as we usually would. And so a big part of what came on its heels was us staying in the studio. We weren't able to be on the road, so we decided to continue working on music. And a lot of these songs on this new record came from basically just getting right back to it. So several of the songs kind of were written probably almost 2 years ago now. And those really informed once we all sat down and got in a room to really, you know, quote unquote, make the album. They informed the direction of where this one went. A huge part of it had to do with the piano. We have a guy, Dan Swank, playing with us on stage now, who brings a lot of new elements to the table. We realized that we sort of had never really leaned that hard into piano and our music. So that became sort of a central piece of the songwriting. And that influenced a lot because that kind of took us back to, you know, some of the things we were doing on our album Last Young Renegade, which was more synth driven. So we incorporated some of that. So I kind of see this record as like our last two records smashed into one and continuing the journey.
The piano is really, really noticeable. And I kind of hooked onto that. And then reading a little bit about how even Sgt. Pepper was on your playlist on repeat, finding some influence there. Is that right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I tend to find that whenever we're writing music, whatever I may be listening to at the time or harping on definitely bleeds through a little bit into what we may be doing. And this time around, you know, I was kind of going back and listening to a lot of what I grew up listening to, what was playing in the house when I was a kid. And, you know, there was a lot of Beatles and a lot of, you know, like Elton John and Queen. And I think a good amount of that kind of trickled into this record.
Those guitar solos, it's definitely the Queen style. What was the song I wrote down? God, there's one, The Sound of Letting Go, the guitar silhouette and how it's mixed. That's the chef's kiss right there.
Oh, right on. I love that.
So that's all nice and good. But then we start the record. Tell Me I'm Alive, Even Modern Love. This character doesn't seem to be in a great spot, is what I'm getting lyrically right here. You know, it's good to feel something. You know, that's one of the first lines that we hear, even in Modern Love, the chasing the high or living the lie. And there's a lot of drug references. What kind of pushed you to write about, I don't know if addiction is the right way to say it?
No, I think there's a lot of exploratory lyrics diving into the struggle with addiction, substance abuse, coping. I think, you know, a lot of the music on this record is kind of focused through the lens of what we all experienced collectively through the pandemic. You know, I don't want to say that this record is a pandemic record because it's really not. It's way more focused than that. And you know, not dealing with those kinds of topics in that broad of a sense. But I think there is a theme of you know, the conversation about isolation and what that can do to a person and struggling to cope and desperately wanting to find connection at a time when I think those things were very difficult for everyone. And, you know, the vices that then kind of can be put in place to deal. And so, yeah, I mean, when this record opens up, this character is very much spiraling and grasping for anything just to feel something. And it kind of tumbles on from there. You know, I think, like you said, Modern Love is sort of a look into this idea of loneliness and this wanting for almost like a silver screen romance, like the kind of love that you see in movies. And then sort of the realization, the harsh realization, maybe that's just not real life. And that's not how things work. You know, kind of going up against that and pleading with it. And yeah, the record rolls on from there into topics about kind of, you know, are you there? Is a really a purely about loneliness. And that feeling of wanting to reach out and have something tangible. And it kind of goes on and builds from there.
I kept coming back to the word disassociation. That seems to be where a lot of the characters end up at some points.
Yeah, I think so. I think almost, the sort of denial of the reality of the situation, not wanting to face it for sure.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Alex from All Time Low. So when you're writing, and not that it's a, you know, black or white and it doesn't have to be one or the other, but do you find that, you know, songs like this, when you are sort of projecting a character out there, do you write for yourself or do you find more that you're writing for the listener?
I think it's a tough one to answer. I would say it's a bit of both, you know, because in all of the years of doing this and continuing to write songs like 20 years into a project, it's like you kind of have to implement these devices to keep things interesting and to find new ways to explore new themes without running out of essentially your own life to talk about and life experience. So I think, you know, a lot of it is informed by personal experience or by the experience of those around me, observational situations, but embodying them through the eyes of sort of a character and taking it into a world of fiction definitely allows for a bit more expanse in the storytelling. It doesn't have to be so specific that no one out there is going to be able to, you know, relate to it, I suppose. And I think that has become a really helpful way to direct the narratives in our songs now for me, and keep it, I don't want to say universal because they're still specific to me. And like I said, to the things I'm writing about, but just do it in a way that doesn't feel like it's kind of forcing people into completely, you know, you have to have been touring for 20 years to know what I'm talking about, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend just a few nights ago at a show, and they were asking sort of about this, and we were having that conversation about what you were getting at about, you know, some artists are like, oh, you've got to write universal. I said, you know, to me, one of the most perfectly written songs ever is U2's Pride in the Name of Love, because you have that chorus, you know, in the name of love. I mean, that's a huge statement, but everybody can sort of grab onto that. I said, and then you get to the verse, you know, and you get those verses Monday morning, year before. It's like, it's so, like they find that way to be so specific. And I think if you can do that as a songwriter, like especially, I don't know, decades into it, how many ways can you write about heartbreak and still make it meaningful? Right. You know, I mean, that's got to be like, what's that mountain look like every time you start a song? Has that changed?
You know, I think I try not to let it be a mountain. First of all, I would say, you know, going in, whenever it feels like a mountain, the song ends up being crap. You know, I think going in and not overthinking it is something that's always been very important to me, because I end up just getting in my own way. I tend to lean towards now, if it feels good and if it's creating a moment in the room as we're writing it, then we're on the right path. But to your point, I think it's just that, you know, it's finding that central core message of the song, and deciding on whether or not that feels universal enough. And then really from there, peppering in your own experience to personalize it, to give it some what I would call some teeth. You know what I mean? I think there's lots of songs that sort of teeter one way or the other, and it's sometimes very hard to find that balance of like, this song is so general that it becomes, I don't want to say less important, but it doesn't grab people as much because you just don't believe it. You're like, it's so vague and it's so broad that I kind of can't buy in any more than the surface level I'm feeling about it. Whereas if you go so overly specific, I think you lose people in the sense that they just don't relate. So it's kind of a great example is that U2 song that you referenced. It's you know, it's got that big message and people can grab onto that, but then there's enough specificity to it that you're like, this person really lived this or is really living this. And I think, you know, that then gives it that really human one-to-one quality with the listener of going like, this person understands me and I understand this person. And I think that's a really important thing in music.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Alex from All Time Low. Couple quick questions, song specific here. English Blood, American Heartache. Any tie whatsoever to the Morrissey song, Irish Blood, English Heart?
there's a nod there, but nothing beyond a playful nod about the song title. Aside from that, it's just that's probably one of the more autobiographical songs on the record, and it's kind of it draws a few parallels and ties back to our last album narratively, and it's just kind of continuing the conversation.
It's got that line in there, I wrote a record just to make the sunshine. I enjoyed that part right there. Sleepwalking, someone else mentioned this online, the other side of sleeping in.
Oh, interesting. Never thought of it that way, but sure. I like it. You know, if that's what it means to them and that's the parallel they draw, then I love that. To me, sleepwalking is kind of, it was the connective thread from a couple songs that we put out between albums. We put out a song called PMA and a song called Once in a Lifetime. And those were sort of, I would say, holding hands with where Monsters left off on our last record. And then Sleepwalking, I think, is the last link in the chain that connects those to this record.
Who's singing? Who else is singing on New Religion?
That would be Teddy Swims. And Teddy Swims is just phenomenally talented, a great voice, a lovely dude, and someone that we ran into at a festival. Our dressing rooms were next door, and it was one of those really cool moments where he just kind of like poked his head in and went, "Hey, I grew up listening to your music. Love you guys. I'm going to come watch the show." And we were like, "Oh my God, we love your music. We're going to come watch your show." And then ended up hanging out all day. And from there, stayed in touch. And when we wrote that song, I kind of felt like I wanted to have somebody on it when I wrote it. And Teddy became the obvious choice. And he was down to come on board. And you know, that voice, he just like, I heard him do his part. And I was like, can we just take me off the song? Can he just do it?
It's a fun moment in the record. And I love the record. I know you're going to be taking it on a tour. You got Mayday Parade also on the bill. You're going to be going unplugged at the Ryman. Have you been rehearsing for that already?
We're starting to get into it. Yeah, I'm so unbelievably excited for some of these shows we have coming up. You know, I mean, the Ryman is a legendary place. And it's something that we decided we wanted to do a bit differently. So we're stripping everything down. We're kind of going to do an unplugged version of our show. And to be honest, in years past, we've always talked about how cool we thought it would be to go back and revisit some of our older songs in more of a stripped down way and then record those. And I think this is maybe going to sort of be the entry point for that idea. So, you know, this feels like it's been a long time coming, and I'm very excited that it's happening at the Ryman, because that's a bucket list venue, you know, for any artist, I think.
Absolutely. It's just down the road for me here in Louisville, so I'm gonna have to make the trek to check that one out.
Yeah, please come through.
Yeah, Alex, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it. Tell me I'm alive is such a great record. It's been a pleasure, man.
Great to talk to you. Thanks so much.
My thanks to Alex. All Time Low, the brand new album, is called Tell Me I'm Alive. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Again, before you get out of here, I do hope you hit that subscribe button. New episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. Song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. Of course, you can also find me on the social media spots, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all three of them, the address, at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time. Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.